Thank you. So I wanted to find something today in the meditation that would fit with what I was going to talk about. And sometimes when we don't talk to each other, serendipity occurs. And I believe that may be what happened today with the music, with the first song that we sang, and with some of the other things that we've heard. I love it when that works. I know a lot of times at church we all work really hard to make sure it all comes together, but here we haven't talked to each other, so it worked out without our help. So this is a little book I picked up that I fell in love with up in Traverse City, How to Love by Thich Nhat Hanh. And I imagine you're familiar with Thich Nhat Hanh's work. I love what he has to say about life and our experience of it. This is entitled, You Are a Flower. Every child is born in the garden of humanity as a flower. Each flower differs from every other flower. There are many messages in our society that tell us, even when we're young people, that there's something wrong with us. And that if we just buy the right product, or look a certain way, or have the right partner, that will fix it. As grown-ups, we can remind young people that they're really already beautiful as they are, and they don't have to be someone else. And to that I would add, and neither do you. So coming into flower is what I chose to share with you tonight. And I imagine you probably couldn't tell that maybe I'd been out in the garden a couple times this week. Actually, 2 weeks ago when the weather was decent, I was out pulling weeds and I was thinking about what I wanted to share with you, and it just seemed so perfect, and then the snow came. And then it seemed like, well, maybe it just would be a message of hope that at some time it would come. But today, the weather was just perfect, and I thought, yes, it's almost as good as having electricity work and the techno stuff work. So as we enter spring, we're reminded that we can always be in a state of renewal and growth and blossoming into who we are meant to be. After all, blossoming is a form of change. It doesn't matter where we are on the age spectrum or what our circumstances are. There is always more we can become, a change we can make in our thinking, attitudes, action, lives. That awareness was beautifully represented in a quote that I found this week as I thought about what I wanted to share with you this evening. And I'm going to pause for just a minute, and we're going to sing Our Thoughts, Our Prayers. Joy Bell C., who is a leading female thinker and writer in our world today, says, I think that the best kind of change is the change that comes from the inside and begins its way out until it emerges on the outside. A change that is born underneath, that continues and spreads until it has reached the surface. That's a true change. A powerful change. And I found that while we are emerging, changing into something glorious, it is actually us becoming who we really are. A water lily is born underneath the water, inside the soil, at the bottom of a river or a lake. And the water lily has always been a water lily. For that whole time that it was sprouting out of the wet soil and reaching up through the dark water towards the sunlight, stretching and grasping for the surface, where it then buds and blooms on the outside in the sunshine. It doesn't bud and bloom on the surface and then try to reach down below into the soil. And that's the end of the quote, and I love that. It is so true. Sometimes we go through a lot of muck, don't we? Not nice. But that's just fertilizer for our souls. I will never forget the first moment that I saw Monet's painting of water lilies at the National Gallery in Washington, D.C. I was mesmerized by the beauty of his impressionistic take on the light shining on the water and the various stages of the water lilies from bud to bloom. I don't know if any of you have seen that particular room, but it was amazing. It was even more amazing when I was in Paris and I was able to be surrounded by the water lilies at the L'Orangerie. I'd seen other Impressionists' work before, but that day I fell in love with Monet's work. I imagine that was the moment a desire began to form in my heart as well as my head to see more of that. I was in awe. It took me 20 years, actually 27 years, from the time I saw those paintings at the National Gallery until I was on my dream trip to France. And I was actually wandering through Claude Monet's gardens, which had been restored after the war, and his home in Giverny, France. And I so wanted to see some of those water lilies blossoming right before me. But it wasn't really the season. After all, it was a drizzling, cold September day, which had made for beautiful pictures, because when it's raining, you get really great pictures. But the lilies weren't blooming. But then we turned a corner, and right before my eyes, there was a big, beautiful water lily bud on the pond. A perfect illustration for us today. That bud didn't care that it was September. It wasn't spring, it wasn't summer, and the bud didn't care. It was ready to bud and bloom. That's a great reminder for us that the time we choose to come into flower, no matter when it is the right time for us. So whether you are 2 or 22 or 102, if you decide you're ready to come into flower, ready to bloom into the beauty of who you really are meant to be, your soul's purpose acted out through you, take advantage of that opportunity. Don't throw it away just because, and we always have a long list of why it won't work. Become everything that you have ever dreamed of. Today is the perfect day for you to begin. This very day. Look at that sunshine. How could we not? It's your time to come to flower. Maybe the challenging part for us, the part that slows us down or stops us in our tracks, is to know how to begin. Maybe you're at that stage of not being sure what it is you want to become or who or have more of in your life. What do you want to have more of in your life? I know that many of you are thinking, what in the heck is this woman talking about? I am way beyond what do I want to be when I grow up. To which I say, well, that may be true, or maybe not. From the time I was 7 or 8 until I was 13, I thought I wanted to be a nurse. As a girl, we only had 2 choices, right? You could be a nurse or you could be a teacher. I even heard somebody say, yep, or a teacher. Well, my sister already wanted to be a teacher, and I didn't want to be like my sister, so I was going to be a nurse. And I like to take care of people, and being a nurse seemed like the perfect idea. So then, after completing advanced science in 9th grade, I learned that I didn't really like science. And so nursing probably wasn't a great idea for me. Seemed pretty unlikely. And then I thought, I'd like to be a Christian education director and work with young people outside of the classroom. But then life happened, and that didn't happen either. So I'm going to ask you a question, and I want you to raise your hands, and don't be shy, because I'm not going to call on anybody. No judgment. How many of you thought you knew what you wanted to experience by the time you were 10 years old? Raise your hand. Okay, keep your hand up. Leave them up if you actually did what you thought you wanted to do then. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Terrific. Okay. For those of you who didn't do what you thought you wanted to do at 10 or younger, would you raise your hand if you discovered later what you were really meant to do? Raise your hand if you discovered what you were really meant to do. And how many of you actually embraced that career or lifestyle or experience? Ooh, more of you get to, oh, that's a good thing. That's wonderful. Well, the only reason, you can put your hands down, the only reason I'm asking you to self-identify is because it is so important to rejoice when you actually live into your life's purpose. So congratulations and joy are in order for those of you who have been able to live your life on purpose, with your life's purpose. Okay, so some hands didn't go up, including mine. So now what about the rest of us? The rest of you have to listen, even if you put your hands up. I have met many people who are still waiting to discover what they love. Some people have a very difficult time saying what they would truly love to experience in this life because they are so busy. We are busy living the daily grind. Identifying your life's purpose takes a bit of self-examination. Now, that may not be for everyone, though I have a feeling with this group, you might be willing to do that. If you're willing to think about what makes your heart sing, really sing, what you're drawn to, whether for money or pleasure, and if you're really lucky, both, wouldn't it be wonderful to be able to make whatever it is you love, what makes your heart sing, be a part of your life, a really integral part of your life? Now, this can be tricky. For example, I love to garden, as I mentioned earlier, but I wouldn't want that to be my work, my life's work, because I find it exhausting. I enjoy it most when I can garden for several hours and then go in and rest, but I wouldn't want somebody to tell me that I had to work for 8 hours in a row in the garden. I love to see the results of my gardening, so I make it a hobby. On the other hand, I can be with people learning what is important to them all day long, and I never get tired of hearing their stories. I believe helping people is my purpose for being on this earth at this time, and I've been lucky to have a chance to live my purpose out in many ways, but my dream was to support my family while I helped others. Now, if you asked my husband what his dream would be, and I suggested that maybe he would want to be with people, he would run as far and as fast as he could to avoid that. Stuart's laughing because he's met Michael. I believe he is here to show some of us how to be calm and focused and always being curious about almost everything. He loves to learn. He's been able to live into his passion too, but it wasn't always that way for either one of us. We have been intentional about some of the paths we have taken to allow room for our purpose-filled lives. It doesn't come by accident for some of us. So you can see why this is the complicated part of coming into flower, identifying your life's purpose. And even when you do successfully identify what your true purpose or passion is, what happens? Life gets in the way, and we don't get a chance to do what we wanted to do. We may feel we have the opportunity to do what we love, or we might feel we can't afford to leave our day job. Maybe we would have to move, and we aren't prepared for that, or it's not possible. The list could go on and on. But here's where our personal attitude towards life comes into play. Being open to possibility. That's what that bud does down under the water in the soil. It's not in a place where it can bloom down there, but it's open to possibility of what's up there. It's the fertilizer. That possibility is the fertilizer for your flower to come into bloom. Humans, especially American humans, white Americans, who enjoy white privilege, are pretty good at coming up with excuses about why we can't do what we want to do. When I say it like that, it almost sounds like whining, doesn't it? We have so many opportunities. We live in a country with a history of people who look like me, come from nothing, and in one generation they can become successful. We live in a land of possibility, all kinds of possibility. Often our biggest obstacle is not knowing how to get ourselves to yes. You may not be able to do everything you want in your life, but you could very likely at least get on the path and enjoy stopping along the way every once in a while. There are so many ways we know how to say no to ourselves. We shouldn't be selfish. We work hard and long, and just doing what is enjoyable and easy for us can't possibly be an honest lifestyle. Or we believe we need a certain level of income to be happy. And if something is easy for us, we think we wouldn't or shouldn't charge that much to do it, even if we were allowed to do what we really love to do. Or we simply don't believe anyone would pay us to do what we love. All those things are true, but only if we believe them. If we really believe in possibility and we really love something that we want to do and believe it is our life's purpose, well, I encourage you to plant the seed of belief that your life can be filled with what you love. Imagine what that would be like. Every day you got to get up and do exactly what you wanted to do. Some people think that's what retirement is, but for a lot of us, that's still not true. And it's not because we need to earn a living. We just haven't figured out how to go out there and do it. Just as I'm inviting you this very spring to come into bloom, I stand here in the same situation. I look back with awe at the way in which my life is playing out. Do you ever do that? Do you think about, first this happened, and then this happened, and now here I am. Sometimes I get up and look in the mirror and wonder, how in the world did I ever get here? When you do think about how your life is playing out, can you see how each step along the way led to another experience, the next new relationship, or some new knowledge, or possibly a loss, or a gain, but they all led to the next step in your life? Do you take note and think, well, if that hadn't happened, good or bad, then I'd never have fill in the blank. If my first husband hadn't left me, I would never have met the love of my life with whom I've been living and married to for 30 years. Those years in between were hard years. I was down in the muck, and I was still planning on getting up to the light one way or another. So I knew what I wanted, but I didn't know how it would arrive. It takes all of those moments to make us who we are. We make choices, and those choices lead us to more choices. Eventually, we've knitted a life together. But if your life project doesn't look the way you think it should, the way you believe it's meant to be, you can begin to make other choices. I know I make it sound easy. It's not easy. It's hard. But I am, in fact, extending an invitation to you. I invite you to imagine what you would like to see bloom in your life, and I'm going to ask you to do it right now. So let's pause for a few moments, and we'll have a little music, and think deeply about what it is you want to see bloom in your life. Remembering that when we close our eyes, our minds quiet down, and when we bow our heads, our bodies quiet down. And if you're comfortable, I invite you to do just that, bow your head and close your eyes. Taking a deep breath slowly in through your nose, pause and slowly exhale through your mouth. One more time, breathing in, and when you are ready, blow it out slowly. Continue to breathe gently and ask yourself, what part of your life could use a new bloom? Is it a relationship? A particular situation? Your career? Your attitude? Your health? Or something else? Take your time. Maybe you have two or even more things you can think of. That's wonderful. Now let's imagine that you have been given an opportunity to incorporate one or more of those things you love to do into your life. What does that look like? What does it feel like? Would it be part of your work life? Would you do it with others? Do you need further education? Now I invite you to hold on to those thoughts you have right now. And as you come back to the present, continue breathing and wiggle your toes and fingers. When you're ready, open your eyes. If you made it through that meditation without your inner voice telling you why this is ridiculous, impossible, not a good idea, or some similar negative judgment, congratulations. If you heard a bit of that, I would ask you to pause for one more moment, and I'm going to ask you to say something out loud, but because most of us will be saying it, you won't stand out. You can repeat it after me. Even though I may not think it's possible, or prudent to do this now, I accept that my purpose, passion, is real and I deserve to enjoy it. Thank you. No matter where you are in your life, no matter what your financial circumstances, no matter what your education or family background, now is the time for you to come into bloom. What does it matter that you really understand? Why does it matter that you really understand what you do want to attract into your life? Because if you don't know what you want, you probably won't attract it into your life. Once you know what you want and begin to think about it, chances are you will begin to find others who either need what you want to incorporate in your life or they may be able to help you get it. And if any of you have ever had an experience like the one I'm talking about, you will become a real believer in the fact that what we think about is what we attract. How can you encourage yourself? How can you plant the seed and nurture it and hold the energy of blooming? Well, you can notice when the growth begins and rejoice in it. In other words, pay attention to what's happening in your life. Be amazed and astounded when you meet somebody and you share what you love to do, and they love to do it too. That wasn't an accident. You're meeting that person for a reason. I met Mary for a reason. I met Julia for a reason so I could meet Mary. It is truly amazing. So you need to play a part in making that new bloom come forth in your life. You are responsible for that happening. You know, when we watch babies, they just love to explore. I have a little one-year-old niece, great niece, and not having had a baby in our family for many years, it's really fun. Even though they live in Germany, her mom sends us videos all the time, and it's been so amazing to watch her during her first year. Given the right support, babies love to explore and they love to try new things. They explore and they learn, of course, by putting things in their mouth and reaching out and watching their hands and watching their feet and all that stuff. They work hard. They work and they work and they work at rolling over. And then they do the same thing when it's time to crawl and again when they walk. They fall down and they just do not give up. When do we start giving up? Why do we start giving up when we get knocked down? What was it that stopped us? Well, whatever it was, let's put it aside and go back to being babies again in terms of our attitude. They might rest and they do something else, but they come back to the task that will move them toward the goal they're trying to reach. Pretty amazing when you put a baby's activities as being much more committed than ours are sometimes. A commitment and belief in your goal is what will nurture you when it gets a little tough or takes longer than you'd like it to or than you had expected. Is your energy aligned with your dream, or are you standing in your own way? As with any change, we begin with knowing what we want. Then we notice what is in our way and begin to be uncomfortable with it. So uncomfortable, we really want to make that change. We take the first step, and the next step becomes crystal clear. We didn't have any idea what that second step was until we took the first one. So I encourage you to focus like a laser on what you want to do, not what you don't want. Remember the water lily heading for the light, wending its way through the dark from the mucky bottom. So start riding that bike, planning a trip, taking the first step toward gaining strength you thought you'd lost, put on all of your jewelry, accessorize for extra beauty, pick up the tennis racket or the golf club. Find the class you need to take and sign up. Then you have to attend. Plant those seeds. It doesn't matter what anyone thinks. This is your spring. Give it all you've got and bloom. Thank you.